Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Nicole Tucker. In this episode, I'm speaking with Dr. Benny Weskler, a thoracic surgeon at Allegheny Health Network, about neoadjuvant treatment of non-small cell lung cancer. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Weskler. To start, can you explain the ongoing role of radiation and chemotherapy for the treatment of non-small cell lung cancer?
First of all, neoadjuvant treatment is treatment before surgery. So the idea here is to treat the tumor while its blood supply hasn't been disrupted by surgical intervention. In patients with stage 3 disease, the standard of care until recently was preoperative chemotherapy with or without radiation. And the radiation was added as per protocol. There's some data that suggests that the radiation doesn't add to results. And when we talk about results in lung cancer, we're talking survival, overall survival. So the chances of somebody being alive in 5 years. So that's really where this has gone. Until recently, we use standard chemotherapy, usually platinum-based, 3 to 4 cycles, followed by surgical resection.
Thank you, Dr. Weskler. Can you talk in detail about neoadjuvant chemotherapy and chemoradiation and how these modalities have evolved in recent years?
Well, it all depends how recent you decide to go, but when in a trial from the RTOG that compared treatment of patients with stage 3, and those patients received either chemoradiation or chemoradiation plus surgery. So chemoradiation in the neoadjuvant setting followed by surgery. And the final results of the trial showed that there was no difference in survival. So, you know, for the casual observer, perhaps that may indicate that surgery was not adding anything to the trial. However, digging a little deeper in this trial, it became clear that patients that had standard surgical procedure, meaning lobectomy for stage 3, actually did better with surgery than without surgery. So although the trial was negative for the surgical part, we consider it, you know, suggestive that surgery does add something. So, you know, for the longest time, we really used chemotherapy. And here in our institution, we use chemotherapy alone and reserved radiation therapy for very selected patients before surgery. Then a few years ago, the Pacific trial came, and that trial also in stage 3, it's not a neoadjuvant trial. It doesn't involve surgery, but it does involve patients with unresectable disease, stage 3 that was deemed unresectable by a surgical team. And those patients received chemotherapy and radiation followed by 1 year of immunotherapy, no surgery. And the results were striking in terms of survival, both disease-free survival and later on overall survival was shown to be impressive compared to what we used to have with chemotherapy and radiation alone. So I think the Pacific trial opened the door for the immunotherapy in the neoadjuvant stage or neoadjuvant setting. And I mean, truly, after many years of not a lot of evolution in that space, we started seeing small trials with preoperative immunotherapy in patients with stage 3. And those trials, a lot of them were single institution and basically more of a feasibility trial, meaning, yeah, we can do it and we can operate patients after immunotherapy. From the surgical standpoint, you know, most of our surgeries now are minimally invasive. So those small trials show that we could operate patients after immunotherapy, but Some of them show that there was a little slightly higher conversion rate to open surgery after immunotherapy. So with those trials kind of setting the stage, those small trials came KEYNOTE-860, which is really the game changer in the space, in which patients with stage two and above received chemotherapy plus immunotherapy, followed by surgery. And that trial also was very positive with significant improvement in disease-free survival. So that's kind of established the standard of care for these patients. In a certain way, it expanded a little bit what we would treat in the neoadjuvant setting. Usually we would treat in the neoadjuvant setting only patients with stage three and above, but now patients with stage two and above, usually 2B, we would consider treating as well. And I think that has been a big change for clinicians in this space.
Thank you for sharing those data, Dr. Wechsler. So now you have patients who have completed systemic therapy in the neoadjuvant setting, and they're moving on to surgery. Can you talk about some of the surgery types that are the most promising right now?
Putting patients in better shape for neoadjuvant, meaning allowing them to do better on surgery. And I think this is a minimally invasive revolution that started, 20 years ago or so, in which we do a lot of lung surgery with minimally invasive techniques, either with VATS or with robotic surgery. Our program is the preponderance of the patients actually have robotic surgery. And we know from multiple studies over the years that one, patients that undergo surgery in the minimally invasive setting, they have less complications, they have less mortality, they have an earlier return to their usual activities, they tolerate post-operative chemotherapy better. Some of those patients will need adjuvant treatment as well. And when they have minimally invasive surgery, they can actually tolerate a higher dose of chemotherapy post-op. So I think it's kind of almost a perfect marriage, treating patients with chemoimmunotherapy followed by minimally invasive surgery. Really, they do extremely well from the surgical standpoint.
We know that there's research around the trimodal approach to non-small cell lung cancer treatment. What can you tell me about that and how this is handled in your institution?
It depends what you call trimodal. So trimodal usually involves three treatments, and we used to call trimodal chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. In our institution, again, radiation is not part of what we do in the neoadjuvant setting. And I know that there are some people that are starting to combine some doses of radiation with the chemoimmunotherapy. There was a trial that used immunotherapy plus one dose of SBRT during the pandemic, in which there were some delays in treatment. And again, it's feasible. And that's all we can learn from the trial. The question is, does it improve survival? We have a lot of questions if adding radiation therapy in the neoadjuvant setting, even in the immunotherapy era, improves survival for our patients, or if it's just another thing that will not hurt them, but perhaps produce side effects that are unexpected. For example, surgery after radiation therapy is perfectly possible, and we do it, but it's unquestionable that it is more complex, number one, and it does have maybe a little more complications. So, in terms of trimodality in the neoadjuvant setting, we like to think of trimodality as chemotherapy, immunotherapy, and surgery, not radiation. Again, our institution, I'm not claiming that that's the only way to do that or that that's necessarily will be proven the best way in the future. But right now, with the trials that we have available, we believe that that's the best way.